It almost didn't go Anthea Gardner's way last night, with Spain facing an obdurate Iranian side, for lack of a better word. They were happy to park the bus and frustrate for most of the night the Jose Mourinho side of world football, it seems. But La Furia Roja put fears of an early exit almost to bed with that 1-0 victory that now sees our World Cup share shootout leaderboard extremely congested at the top. We've got four players sharing top spot: Petri Redlinghuis, Nadia Torkan, Adrian Saville joining Anthea, while Dave Shapiro is wallowing in second place with his drawn game. The rules are simple: pick your team to win or to draw, and then you've got to select a stock from the winning country, or if you pick a draw, two stocks if you're going for a draw. And tonight we enter the second round with Petri Redlinghuis, founder and trader at Aranya Capital Advisors, back in the penalty box. Petri, which country are you taking aim at?
Good evening. You see, I like the really high probability trades, so you bet on the one that you think are really very likely to win. So France for me. Thank you.
You're going France. France, Peru is the matchup. I think
France is a good football team, and Peru I'm not so sure of. So, you know.
Yeah, they were thrilling in their first match, but they lost. And I think France could be described as a little bit moribund, but won. And I think the upshot is that Peru can't afford another defeat. Otherwise, they and their dapper kit, I do like their kit, and their tens of thousands of uproarious fans will be buckling their swash, packing their bags and heading back home. I couldn't agree with you more, though. I think it's going to be France's all the way. And that also opens up quite an interesting universe of stocks to pick. But before you go into that, are you brave enough to put a score line down for us?
I don't know. What's the most common scoreline? 2-1?
2-1. Well, I think the most common scoreline at this World Cup has been a victory by one goal. We haven't seen big blowout scorelines, apart from the first one that you picked, 5-0, Russia over Saudi Arabia. Maybe you want to go with the big one again.
No. We'll keep the 2-1. Odds. It was just, yeah, 2-1. I think the chances of that is somewhat high.
No, I think that's pretty much the way to go. And your stock from France?
LVMH. So I think it stands for Louis Vuitton, something in Hennessy.
Moët and Hennessy, or Moets and Hennessy, depending on which side of the tracks you grew up on.
And Hennessy, there we go. So obviously luxury brand, very similar to Richemont, except that they have all the other cool things that Richemont doesn't. Also moving into the online space, we've seen Richemont doing this. They're doing this as well, moving into the space of selling luxury goods online rather than having storefronts, which is very expensive. And it's actually the fastest growing retail segment, online luxury goods segment, which is doing fantastically well. And over the last 3 years, have grown net profit by over 18% every single year.
Wow.
So it's a very niche sort of business. You know, brands like Veuve Clicquot, Louis Vuitton, Hennessy, Moët Chandon, and a couple of others. I mean, very, very nice, expensive things. And we know that people who can afford expensive things tend to not really care too much about the global economy.
Or consumer cycles, or Piketty, or any of that. Yeah.
The global economy is doing well. Employment data from the U.S. this afternoon, for example, is somewhat good. So it seems as though luxury goods are going to continue to be robust, and I think that it is reasonable to expect net profit growth for the company to continue in the trend of 18% plus every year.
And if you look at some of the metrics, it's got a return on equity of 18.5% over the last 12 months. That seems to be fairly robust. Is that in line with its industry peers?
To tell you the truth, I'm not 100% sure. I know that the stuff that I look at in terms of what is investable, it has to be sort of somewhere, you know, it needs to have ROE of in excess of 15. So anything over 15 or 20 in that area is good. So 18 is sort of in the ballpark. I'm not too sure what the ROE of Richemont is, I'll be very honest with you.
And Richemont, as we know, is the the famous company from Stellenbosch, owned by Johan Rupert, and is also in the crosshairs of the MSCI at the moment because it's looking at those companies that have funny share ownership structures. I haven't seen anything out from the MSCI, so I'll have to ask Anthea Gardner whether or not she's seen any news on that front. Any risks to the investment case here? So you've outlined a very compelling investment case. It plays in a sector that is resilient to high net worth individuals. It's going into online. It's diversifying. And the track record is one of excellence. Obviously, these brands are at the pinnacle in the markets in which it plays. What are the risks?
Well, the risk is that changing regulation in China, for example, that could be one of them. I know that there was recently a regulatory sort of change where company, you know, directors and so on were gifting each other luxury watches and stuff. And then we saw sales drop in China drastically of luxury goods. However, that was picked up by a sales increase in Europe as Chinese consumers then just travel to Europe to buy the luxury watches and stuff there in order to take back to China and give as a gift anyway. So the overall risk is just really a sort of a big market shock, I think. I think if we see sort of a downturn, a proper bear market, a crash, maybe the tech bubble pops or whatever you want to call it, that I think would be enough of a shock to the system to get the wealthy people to stop spending. But other than that, I don't think there's too much. You know, I think that if things continue the way they are, with quantitative easing coming to an end in Europe by the end of the year, that's a good signal. The tightening of monetary policy in the US, that's a good signal. All these things are saying, you know, market strong. As long as the market remains strong, or the economy, the world economies remain strong, I think that these companies will continue to perform robustly. If we do see a turn, perhaps Brexit could be a bit of a risk to it. We don't quite know what the impact of that is going to be. A lot of people are going to have to potentially leave Britain, as well as companies move their headquarters and so on. So we're not 100% sure what that might be, but we could potentially see a lot of money leaving Britain, thus a lot of sales, you know, of luxury goods in and other retail consumer products within Britain drop drastically. That, however, I anticipate will probably take, you know, 3 to 6 months to be absorbed by another market elsewhere in Europe. So it's a few short-term risks, not too many longer-term risks, I don't think, unless, of course, we see an end to the almost historic long bull market that we've been in.
And those regulatory red card risks, much like the French rugby team suffering under some very curious rulings down under in their attempts to beat the All Blacks. Let's hope that the French football team don't get a red card today. Otherwise, I couldn't agree with you more, Pietri. It's France and LVMH all the way.